Our Lord spent his entire ministry building bridges to humanity, or trying to. Sometimes his efforts to build bridges to the religious authorities of his day was so draining, so controversial, so bruising, that at times the effort completely exhausted him. And he felt the need in this particular moment to go home and rest, to go back to Galilee. And he decided to take the straightest route possible through Samaria. And it's noon. If you'll read in the text, it's noon, and he is at the well, and he is hungry, and he is thirsty. And a woman comes bringing a big water jar and a big leather pouch to which to dip out the water. And Jesus asked her, "Give me a drink." Very simple words. But there is so much below the surface of those words. Jesus recognizes that he is trying to build a bridge to a Samaritan woman. There is a chasm between them. And yet he says, "Give me a drink of water." Now, of course, the chasm between them is completely metaphorical. But aren't most of the chasms between us and the people with whom we are estranged also metaphorical? We have a difference of opinion, perhaps practice different politics, maybe see a situation differently, have a widely divergent perspective. What separates us from others is a metaphorical chasm. That doesn't make it any less real. Jesus senses the great chasm between them and says, "Give me a drink." It is a word of grace. It is a word of reconciliation. It's a word that you and I could speak to bridge our chasms, but how often our lives are defined by the chasms that estrange us from others. "Give me a drink." The woman's not having any part of it. She knows her place. "How is it that you, a Jew, would speak to me, a Samaritan?" "Woman." The grievance goes way back to the time when the Jews were released from exile in Babylon, came back to Jerusalem and started rebuilding the temple. And the Jews in the northern part of Israel that had been conquered earlier by the Assyrians and then depopulated for the most part, the Assyrians had allowed immigrants into northern Israel, and those immigrants had married with the resident Jews. And so the southern Jews thought that they were biologically impure and theologically heterodox. So when the northern Jews tried to come down and help them build the temple, they wouldn't let them. How is it that you would speak to me? Factor that in also, the mores of that day. There were Jewish rabbis in Jesus' day on record as saying, you should never have a prolonged conversation with a woman, even your wife, maybe especially your wife. You should never have a conversation with a woman in public, even your wife. And it would be better to burn the words of the law than to share them with a woman. That's the culture in which Jesus said to this Samaritan woman, give me a drink. Jesus is offering her a fair trade. You slake my thirst, and I will speak to the emptiness in your soul that you cannot touch. And she is both skeptical and attracted. You don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. How do you get this living water? She even tries to demean Jesus by saying, are you think you're as great as our forefather Jacob who gave us this well? And Jesus is not drawn into that. He just says, I offer you something that can meet the thirst in your soul. Living water. Now, when you read this chapter tonight to review the whole thing, notice that Jesus has come at noon. This woman has come at noon. That is a sign of her being ostracized by her community. Nobody in the Middle East comes to the well at 12 o'clock because it's too dang hot. The fact that she is there at noon is because she knows nobody else will be there. She has been ostracized by her society because she has such a checkered past. And even as Jesus offers her a bridge of grace, he also demands from her cleansing honesty. Go get your husband and come back and I'll share with you this living water. Oh, I'm not married. Yeah, I know you're not married. You've had 5 husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Now here's the deal. And if you don't understand this, you don't understand this passage. This woman has not really had 5 different marriages. She's had the same failed marriage over and over and over and over and over. She's made the same relational mistakes time after time after time after time. She may be married to different people, but it was the same failed marriage. And she's about to make the same mistake yet again. Do you not feel some resonance with this woman? You and I, who often make the same mistakes over and over, make the same miscalculations, practice the same prejudices, commit the same misjudgments time and time again? Is there not a flicker of recognition in our lives and hers? Jesus says, open your soul and I will give you living water. But instead of opening her soul, she prefers the defense of arguing over theology. Well, you Jews worship in Jerusalem while we worship at Mount Gerizim. Again, old wound. When the northern Jews came down to Jerusalem to help build the temple and were rebuffed, they went back to northern Israel and built their own temple at Mount Gerizim, which is where they worshipped until 108 B.C. when John Hyrcanus, the Hasmonean ruler, came in and destroyed their temple. And they were still hacked about it. Do you not see a flicker of recognition in her defenses? How many of us How many people I can think of in my ministry over the years prefer to gnaw the gristle of old contentions, who prefer to feed on the fuel of resentments, who prefer to feed off of their grudges rather than open their souls to living water. They're drawn to the church not by love, but by a love for controversy. How many times in my ministry have I seen people who never darken the door of the church until they hear there's going to be a controversial vote, and then they show up to vote? They're drawn more by friction and conflict than they are by an openness to living water that can touch a thirst that they cannot slake themselves. Jesus says to this woman, "You give me a drink, and I will give you a nourishment that feeds the depth of your soul and frees you from this life of making the same mistake over and over and over and over again." Jesus won't let her fixate on old wounds, rehash old grievances. He said, "Look, the day is coming when the Spirit of God is coming into this world, and it's going to obliterate the issues of Jerusalem, Mount Gerizim. It's going to span the difference between Samaritan and Jew, between Jew and Gentile, between male and female, between slave and free. The Spirit of Christ is going to bridge all of the chasms that try to separate people." And she has enough Sunday school religion to say, "Hey, I know there's a Messiah coming one day." And Jesus answers, "The man in front of you, I am he." About this time, up come the disciples. And they see Jesus, and they see the Samaritan woman, and they're going, "Oh, gosh. Jesus has just come from controversy after controversy in Jerusalem. He's supposed to be escaping that. And what do? They leave him a little while, and he enters into a public discussion at a well with a Samaritan woman of disreputable behavior. Maybe they heard about the woman's past in town. Or maybe they just sized her up as that kind of girl. I read a book a few years ago called Blink that says most of us make our estimation of people in about 5 seconds. Jesus shouldn't be talking to her. And yet, it is in this context that Jesus says the words, "The fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few." It is in Samaria, among the pagans, among the half-breeds, among the heterodox, in the presence of a disreputable woman, that Jesus says, "The fields are ripe for harvest. We just need to build bridges and invite them in." Like the disciples, we, the good people, have our opinion of who should be allowed in and who should be kept out. Like the disciples, we're the good people who think we can look at people and assess quickly whether or not they belong or they don't. That's not what Jesus is about. Jesus about building bridges across chasms. The fields are ripe. The very people that you see as heterodox, I see as candidates for the kingdom. We're about building bridges. Or are we? The woman opens her life to the living water, and suddenly she is so filled that she rushes past those disapproving disciples and she heads to the very city who has ostracized her. And she is going to invite them, come with me to see Jesus. Not go see Jesus, come with me to see Jesus. She is filled with enthusiasm. Do you know what enthusiasm literally means? Possessed by God. God in you. Enthusiasm. This woman has God in her. Enthusiasm is not the cheerleader jumping up and down. Nothing wrong with that. But enthusiasm is God possessing you so that you're filled with the joy and your first impulse is to go share, invite, build bridges, even those who have pushed you out. Do we brim with enthusiasm? Are we God-possessed? Do we live with a compulsion to build bridges to those that otherwise we would say, oh, they don't belong? The words living water, they are just words until they become the very energy of life. They're just words until they become the means by which you live, the grace that cleanses you from guilt. How many of you here feel stuck? You commit the same mistakes over and over. Your life never really progresses. You fall into the same addictions, the same traps, the same relationships over and over. You don't move forward. Jesus says, I offer you living water to bring you out of your rut and allow you to live forward and answer the high calling of Christ. Christ offers you a bridge out of your rut to a healthy life. Abraham Lincoln knew a thing or two about living in polarized times. And he said, the greatest transformation I can accomplish is to turn an enemy into a friend. There is one greater transformation, to turn an unbeliever into a believer, to turn a stranger outside our walls into a fellow companion on the pilgrimage of faith. And that can only be done by building bridges. And it can only be done as we open our souls to the living water of Christ. May we pray together. Lord, you indeed have built a bridge to our hearts by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it move us to open our being daily to your living water and be refreshed, that we may build bridges unto a world in darkness. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.